This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Supreme Court sides with Trump. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, September 13, thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Score at least a temporary win for President Trump's travel ban. The Supreme Court has turned thumbs down on a lower court ruling that would have allowed more refugees.
The death toll from Hurricane Irma has risen. Meanwhile, millions in Florida remain without power, and only part of the Keys has reopened.
On the tech front, Apple introduces three new iPhones plus an Apple Watch that no longer requires you to be tethered.
And to prepare for the next data breach, given the size and scope of the one at Equifax, we'll have some tips.
Well, the Equifax breach is one of the larger ones just in terms of scale, but also in terms of danger of the data stolen. Anytime you're talking about Social Security numbers as part of a breach, that's pretty bad because that gives thieves the opportunity not just to compromise an existing account, but to open new ones in your name.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on how to best insulate yourself from a data theft that's out of your control. She's here in about 20 minutes. The Supreme Court has given President Trump a temporary victory by reinstating his restrictions on refugees entering the country. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Yesterday's ruling blocked a lower court decision that would have greatly expanded the number of refugees exempted from the Trump administration travel ban. The high court is scheduled to hear arguments next month in the broader constitutional challenge. The current dispute is over which immigrants and refugees can enter in the meantime. It was the third time the justices have intervened since June to set interim rules while the court more fully considers the executive order, which aims to suspend travel by people from six specific countries. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Trump said the temporary ban was needed to protect against terrorist threats while the U.S. studied vetting procedures. Critics said the restrictions were unjustified and unlawfully targeting Muslim travelers. Hurricane Irma is now being blamed for 22 deaths in the southeast United States during last weekend, most of them in Florida. Meanwhile, power has now been restored to around 2.3 million customers in the Sunshine State, but an estimated 4.4 million more are still waiting. Florida Power and Light spokesman Rob Gold said customers on the state's east coast should expect most power to be restored by about Sunday, while customers on the west coast should expect most power to be restored in another week and a half.
We know the weather has cleared, it's sunny out, and patience will wear thin. We know that. But we are going to do everything we can to get the lights back on as quickly and as quickly as we can.
In the Florida Keys, about one in every four homes was destroyed, with more than half of all homes suffering some sort of damage. But all 42 bridges in Monroe County, which includes the Keys, have been declared safe. That said, only some residents have been allowed to return home so far, leading to frustration, as you might imagine. Well, for years, there hadn't been much debate over how to regulate land use in Houston. Developers in the nation's fourth largest city mostly built what they wanted, where they wanted. Now, after Hurricane Harvey killed at least 50 people and caused roughly $180 billion in damage, a battle is shaping up over how to best oversee real estate development in Houston. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. Doug, what do we have here?
So Houston has been hit by floods for years, and it keeps getting worse. This storm Harvey obviously was sort of biblical. The questions that's arising now is, are developers overdeveloping the community? Are they not putting in proper infrastructure to alleviate these floods when they come? So far, developers have sort of had the upper hand, and they've done what they wanted, and there's a lot of folks criticizing the unregulation, the failure to regulate is making these floods worse than they need to be.
All right, so With that in mind, you spoke to Stephen Costello, right, this chief resilience officer in Houston, also known as the flood czar, and he says he doesn't see things changing in his lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, Houston has been booming for years, and, you know, in the city's DNA is this open arms for development and to grow and to grow and to grow, and it's made it very successful. One of the things they're doing is building a lot of houses which make it very inexpensive to live there, which draws more people and keeps the economy moving. They don't want to give that up. If they begin to regulate more heavily, it costs money, it slows things down, it probably increases the price of housing. So there's a balance, and they've definitely sided toward building at the expense of building out infrastructure to alleviate, you know, the flooding when it comes.
Wow. That's not dangerous or costly?
Yeah, it's sort of short-term versus long-term, I think. You know, in the short term, you can make a lot of money by building homes and having more people move in, and it keeps the economy moving. The problem is that if people are building in the wrong place and they're building the wrong type of homes, if they're not elevated, if they're in the floodplain or even near the floodplain, then the long-term costs can get bad. Some of this is being socialized. You know, FEMA's going to pick up some of the tabs on this stuff, but the city right now is debating whether or not to put in like a 9% additional 9% property tax to help pay for this, the recovery. So, it is expensive when the floods come. There's no two ways about it.
Wow. We're speaking with Doug Belkin, Wall Street Journal reporter. He's written a piece entitled "In Harvey's Wake, Houston Rethinks Real Estate Development." And explain the role of the Harris County Flood Control District Executive Director. What does he want?
So they have this was a group that was created in the 1930s because Houston has been flooding since its inception. It's essentially built on clay, flat clay, so it doesn't absorb much water. And they've developed a lot of the prairie grass. They've pulled it out and replaced it with highways and tar. So, you know, this flooding has gotten consistently worse over the years, and they created this governmental body to try to ameliorate the flooding. You know, critics of this say that they haven't done enough, that they haven't regulated enough. One thing that he's trying to do right now is to take the billions of dollars that are going to be coming into the city and buy out houses that flood again and again. They've wanted to do this. A lot of times folks don't want to move out of their houses. They don't want to take the money and leave, but this flood was sort of the last straw, and a lot of folks are beginning to call him now.
Just kind of going off of your title there, thinking is about all that's going to happen, I guess? Is not going to be some sort of physical change?
If I were to guess, I would say that what will happen is they will spend more money or a greater percentage of the GDP there on getting the water to move more quickly out of Houston and into the bayous next time it rains. I think they're loath to put the brakes on development, but they do understand that if this happens again, essentially they're going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. People won't want to move there if they can't be assured that their houses aren't going to flood every 5 years.
Thanks, Doug. Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter, too, with the username @GordonDeal. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. North Korea is running its mouth again, one day after the UN Security Council approved new and tougher sanctions after Pyongyang conducted its latest nuclear test. The isolated country is vowing to redouble efforts to fight off what it said was the threat of a U.S. invasion. North Korea's UN ambassador in Geneva said, quote, forthcoming measures will make the U.S. suffer the greatest pain it ever experienced in its history. Meanwhile, President Trump said the newer sanctions aren't enough, just a small step towards what is ultimately needed to rein in Pyongyang over its nuclear and missile programs.
Not big. I don't know if it has any impact, but certainly it was nice to get a 15-0 vote. But those sanctions are nothing compared to what ultimately will have to happen.
Also, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin warned China, North Korea's main trading partner, that Washington would put additional sanctions on them and prevent them from accessing the U.S. and international dollar system if it did not follow through on the new measures. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Important parts of Florida are inching back toward normal, with workers restoring power, clearing roads, and replenishing gas supplies, but flooded streets remain, and the count of damaged and totaled homes ticks up. Millions remain without power, but 2 million have been brought back online. Rob Gould of Florida Power and Light cautions folks to stay away from down lines.
Power lines can be on the ground and not moving, but still be energized. So if you have trees down and there's lines there, avoid them.
As crews labor to repair the lone highway connecting the Keys, FEMA says 25% of the homes in the Keys were destroyed and 65% sustained major damage. The number of deaths in the U.S. blamed on Irma has reached nearly 24, while more than 35 were killed in the Caribbean. France's president is promising to rebuild stronger Caribbean territories after Irma destroyed much of St. Martin and St. Bart's. In a visit to the affected islands, French President Emmanuel Macron acknowledged anger over the government's response to the disaster. French authorities yesterday brought in much-needed food, water, and medical supplies. For now, the Supreme Court is allowing the Trump administration to maintain its restrictive policy on refugees. The justices agreed to an administration request to block a lower court ruling that would have eased the refugee ban. The justices are scheduled to hear arguments in the case next month. Apple has introduced a trio of new iPhones, making a bet that some customers will be willing to part with more than $1,000 for the premium iPhone X. Apple says the phone won't start shipping until November 3rd, much later than usual. A-list celebrities came out in droves last night to take part in the hand-in-hand hurricane relief telethon, which raised more than $44 million for the victims of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. Actor Leonardo DiCaprio.
But the storm left behind is fear in the hearts of so many who now face an uncertain future. Tonight, we want to help.
Dozens of performers took the stage, including Stevie Wonder, Usher, and Blake Shelton. During the broadcast, Stephen Colbert announced that Apple is donating $5 million, and Jimmy Fallon added that Albertsons and Merck each gave $1 million.
Very nice. Thank you, Jen. It's 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Maybe you weren't affected by the Equifax data breach. Maybe you were, maybe you weren't. Either way, experts say it's time to start looking ahead to the inevitable next hack. Credit reporting company Equifax announced last week it had suffered a data breach affecting an estimated 143 million consumers, exposing names, social security numbers, and other data. If that doesn't get your attention, I'm not sure what will. Here's Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, set this up.
Well, the Equifax breach is one of the larger ones just in terms of scale, but also in terms of danger of the data stolen. Anytime you're talking about social security numbers as part of a breach, that's pretty bad because that gives thieves the opportunity not just to compromise an existing account, but to open new ones in your name.
I can't believe, too, the amount. 975 data breaches this year already?
Well, and that does not count Equifax or really anything after September 5th. That was some data from the Identity Theft Resource Center. And they've been tracking data breaches over the years. And last year, 2016, they said that there were a record number of them. And already in the first half of 2017, they saw a record first half of the year in terms of the number of these breaches.
Boy, I tell you, when I heard the Equifax news, I felt completely helpless and exposed. I thought, if it's Equifax, who else is it going to be?
Well, exactly, and that's their job, is to protect your data. So this is it's particularly frustrating for a lot of folks. It's that's what they do, is to collect data on people about their creditworthiness, and this could do a lot of damage for folks. So especially as we're looking at this and saying, like, all right, we've got the new normal of, unfortunately, of data breaches, and we're not usually hearing about these until weeks or months after they happen. We know that criminals tend to act pretty quickly when they get access to this data. It means that consumers, we need to be more prepared for these going forward instead of trying to react to breaches as they happen.
We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's written a piece entitled How to Prepare for the Next Equifax-Type Data Theft. All right, so what do we do? I mean, considering we're completely helpless, it seems, in the face of what happened at Equifax, what should we be doing just to make sure that we're at least doing our part?
Well, we've got a whole long list on the site, but one of the big things that experts say people can do is to really be more cautious about shielding your important data, particularly trying to avoid providing your social security number unless it is required. You'll see this as a field on a form for quite a lot of things, from, you know, maybe in your kid's school, your financial advisor could ask for it, your doctor's office. In a lot of cases, they really don't need that information. So, you know, for example, at doctor's offices, I just often leave that blank and I wait to see if they say anything to me. I've never been asked about it. At least, you know, that's anecdotal. Mm. I'm sure there are cases where they will come back and they require it. But, you know, to don't just always, you know, assume if someone's asking for that information that it is necessary and that you're required to provide it.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 2424 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 2424.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Welcome into Wednesday, September 13. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Irma recovery continues in Florida, with cruises due to resume leaving Miami today, now that sunken sailboats have been cleared. Senator Bernie Sanders today will introduce legislation to create a completely government-run healthcare system. All three major stock indexes closed at record highs. Make it 20 wins in a row now for the Indians. Los Angeles today expected to be awarded the 2028 Olympics, and the wild reception for cops posting selfies as they help with Irma relief. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, who takes care of the men and women on the front lines when they're taking care of everyone else in disaster situations like Hurricanes Harvey and Irma? The USO. With an update on what the organization is up to, we're joined now by Alan Reyes, Senior Vice President of Operations and Programs at the USO. Alan, what's the group doing right now?
We are really privileged to provide support to our service members that are providing disaster relief efforts, both in Texas and Florida, in the aftermath of Harvey and Irma. And as everyone knows, when you have these natural disasters, you've got the National Guard, you've got the Coast Guard, you've got all the different armed forces, particularly given the magnitude of these relief efforts, descending down there on Texas and Florida. And we as the USO, in our ability to always be by the side of those service members and their families, are there alongside them. We're providing relief, the folks providing relief efforts, support and comfort through things like our expeditionary vehicles, that we're setting up these temporary USOs so that they can have a place to relax and recharge when they're off of their mission. We're also sending thousands and thousands of care packages down to Texas and Florida, much like the tens of thousands of care packages we sent to service members around the world.
Well, we often don't think of those guys as being on the front lines. We hear the rescue stories and survival stories and all that other stuff, but we often forget the guys who are on those front lines, that they need caring also. What is it that you do generally?
Well, so, you know, just like we have 200-plus USO centers around the world, these centers that we're setting up right there at these camps, these temporary locations, are places where the service members can relax. We have food, we have drinks, water, snacks, we have gaming and television and things that they can do just to unwind, just to relax after a pretty arduous day performing their duties. But most importantly, we also provide them a way to connect back home. Especially when you think about the challenges of connectivity with phone and internet in a disaster relief scenario, you know, we have provide the opportunity for them to call home, to connect to home through our own network of satellite and bandwidth connectivity, and that's another way for them to stay in touch. And, you know, we know that our role in the USO is to strengthen our service members, and one of those ways to strengthen them is really to connect them back home. And that's true whether they're sitting there at a National Guard camp in Florida or whether they're sitting in a forward operating base in Afghanistan.
Wow. We're speaking with Alan Reyes. He's Senior VP of Operations and Programs of the USO. You guys stretch kind of thin right now. I mean, obviously you got some overseas operations, and now we got two big hurricanes you're dealing with.
Yeah, you know, we're stretched, but I tell you, it's a good stretch. We are so fortunate and blessed. We've got over 30,000 volunteers around the world that execute the USO mission, and so we have capacity to be able to serve them on a day-to-day basis. Serve our service members and their families on a day-to-day basis, and then be able to respond to contingencies like what's happening in Harvey and Irma. And, you know, even as an aside, you know, in some of the recent tragedies in the Pacific, these collisions at sea that the Navy experienced, we are supporting in the aftermath the crews and the families of those ships because we know that that's an important thing to do. And so that's, you know, one of the things that we do as the USO is we're as nimble as we can to always be by their side, and we do that because we've got the great support not only our volunteers, but all of our donors and supporters that make this an opportunity that we can realize.
How do regular folks get involved here or help out?
Yeah, you know, I'd love if anyone wants to learn more about what we're doing as the USO and what they can do to support that, they can visit our website at uso.org/force. And they can learn how to be part of the force behind the forces. That's our term for talking about the great work that anyone can do in society to demonstrate to our service members that we want them to be strong and that we want to be part of strengthening them. They can learn how to volunteer. They can even send a simple message of support that we can send out to our service members through our USO centers as well.
Thanks, Alan. It's Alan Reyes, Senior VP of Operations and Programs at the USO. 21 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Hey, happy Wednesday. Glad you're with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's hard to believe sometimes, but super rich celebrities deal with a lot of the same nonsense that we do every day. While perhaps spending a lot more time in first class or on private jets than us, they still have to sit in traffic once they get on the ground and have the same blood-boiling reaction that we would. That's apparently what happened to Harrison Ford over the weekend, who was caught on camera directing traffic outside of the Queens Midtown Tunnel in New York City. A pileup in the tunnel apparently trapped Ford's car motionless, and he got out in the hopes of moving the traffic behind him so that his car could escape. In the clip obtained by TMZ, you can hear Ford's familiar authoritative voice shouting at drivers while onlookers do a double take.
It really is 100%. Directing traffic.
Come on, man.
Indiana Jones.
Go! Get out!
That's him, all right. The obviously still energetic 75-year-old Ford is set to star in the fifth Indiana Jones film, which is slated for release in 2020.
So this is not some publicity stunt for the movie?
No. It looked like he really needed to get somewhere and was really unhappy about the traffic situation.
He's nuts to do that in New York.
Yeah, he's like a real New Yorker, basically. I mean, he just got out there. He didn't care. He's like, look, people, move it. I gotta get where I gotta go.
If you have as much money as Harrison Ford, don't you have a driver?
Well, no, he was being driven. He wasn't driving the car. Yeah, he got out of, I think he was in, it looked like he was in the passenger seat of a car that was being driven by somebody else. And he got out and he said, you know, look, we gotta get going here. Probably had somewhere he had to be. You know, maybe a movie shoot. Who knows? And a marriage proposal, Gordon, in a Missouri park took a wrong turn this weekend when the man dropped to one knee and immediately dropped the $4,000 engagement ring off of a bridge. Yeah. A video posted by a friend to Facebook shows what was supposed to be Seth Dixon's romantic proposal to his girlfriend Ruth on a wooden bridge at a park in Kansas City. The video shows Seth drop to one knee and lose his grip on the engagement ring, causing it to fall through the wooden boards and into the water below. Photos of the aftermath were also posted showing the couple's friends wading around in the water looking for the ring. Divers were even sent in to search, but to no avail. The ring was never found, and according to their friend's Facebook post, the couple, quote, left with no ring in hand but a heart full of love and memories to last a lifetime. Mm. The video of Seth's Butterfingers moment, by the way, has now been viewed over 100,000 times.
I just watched.
And it's one of those that goes on a loop. I mean, you could just watch it all day long.
Oh, my goodness.
You feel so bad for this guy.
And I think it looked like he had no chance. Like, that box snapped open.
Yeah.
And the thing went out. It wasn't like he bobbled it, you know, and it hit his hands once or twice. And it was one of those no moments.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looked like, too, it didn't even bounce off the bridge. It fell straight through like a gap between the wooden slats.
So no quick reaction by him probably could have saved the day.
Poor guy. He had no chance.
Yeah.
No chance. Ugh.
But he's getting married. Congrats.
Yeah. Listen, $4,000 down the tube. We can move past this, can't we, honey?
At least she said yes.
Yeah. Never mind vacation or honeymoon, Christmas, all out the window with $4,000 at the bottom of a river. Thank you, Mike. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Irma's devastating storm surge came with weird twists that scientists attribute to the storm's width, path, and some geographic quirks. A combination of storm surge, heavy rains, and swollen rivers sent some of the worst flooding into Jacksonville, even though Irma roared into the opposite end of the state. Governor Rick Scott says the Keys got the worst of it.
Positive-wise, on the West Coast, you didn't see as much storm damage as what we thought. The negative is, if you're in the Keys, you've seen the pictures, the trailer parks, I mean, it's like everybody just tipped everything over.
In southwestern Florida, a strange-looking negative surge initially pulled water away from the beaches and bay, then came back with a vengeance. North Korea is vowing to accelerate its weapons programs in response to evil sanctions imposed by the UN Security Council following its latest and most powerful nuclear test. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert expects the UN sanctions to be effective.
This is the strongest set of sanctions that have been passed by the UN Security Council on DPRK. The strongest set of sanctions. That's significant.
President Trump says the latest sanctions were a prelude to even stronger measures. The Justice Department says it will not prosecute six Baltimore police officers in the 2015 death of Freddie Gray. The DOJ says it found insufficient evidence to support federal criminal civil rights charges against the officers. In July of 2016, Baltimore prosecutors dropped charges against three of the officers, while the other three had previously been acquitted. An ideologically divided Supreme Court has handed a win to Republicans in Texas by putting on hold rulings that said electoral districts drawn up by state lawmakers discriminated against minority voters. On a 5-4 vote, the court blocked two different lower court decisions that found fault with both congressional districts and state legislative districts drawn by the Republican-controlled state legislature. 20 and counting, the Cleveland Indians extended their winning streak to 20 last night, matching the AL mark held by the 2002 Oakland Athletics with a 2-0 win over the Detroit Tigers. Pitcher Corey Kluber.
Obviously, we're aware of it just because of the attention that it gets, but it's not something that we're focusing on.
The Indians will try to break that record in a game today against the Tigers.
How about if they just win out the rest of the season?
They might.
Just be like the greatest sports story of all time.
They might do it.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Well, just when people are in need of some levity after the threat of Hurricane Irma, the internet comes to the rescue. USA Today says police officers have been posting photos of themselves responding to the tropical storm, and followers have been appreciative. So appreciative that the Gainesville PD has promised a calendar and has asked followers to stop calling 911 to ask for some of these cops. Seems to have started when Gainesville officers Nordman, Hamill, and Rengering posted a selfie. As of last night, the post had generated 261,000 reactions. Someone named Shirley wrote, quote, "Who does your recruiting, Gainesville police? Give them a raise. Hashtag hottie PD." Maria Castle sent a message that read, "I don't see a wedding ring on Officer Handsome. I mean, Officer Hatcher. Gainesville PD has also posted that Mrs. Nordman and Mrs. Hamill appreciate that their husbands are so popular. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.